This is Will Wheaton. You're listening to Radio Brendoman.
Welcome to another episode of Radio Brendoman.
I'm Brendan Creasy.
And I'm Phil Vecchio.
This is part two.
Part two, but still episode 211.
211, but part two of last of
part
this
two,
week's.
Yes, the continuation.
Continuation of this week's episode.
So it's pretty cool. I like it. I'm feeling the love here.
You think this is going to work?
I hope so. I want to hear what people have to say, but I like it.
Yeah.
I think it's keeping it fresh.
Fresh and easy.
Keeping it fresh and easy.
We don't want to be fresh and easy because they all went out of business.
Keeping it Aldi's?
What do you think they're going to put in that fresh and easy down there?
I don't know.
It's still sitting there empty.
I don't know. It's stale and hard, I guess.
That's probably going to be a giant Starbucks.
Probably. That's all we need is more Starbucks, right? So, Dollar Tree. We have a...
We don't have a Dollar Tree.
Dollar Tree of 99 cents. I like Dollar Tree better.
But Dollar Tree has like... But they're also more than 99 cents.
True.
Whereas that 99 cents, or the only things that are over 99 cents are like, they have eggs and milk. That's right. More 99 cents.
Well, Dollar Tree has less grocery type.
But Dollar Tree has like more like name brand, yeah, and also more things. Random. You also might
it's
find some more
like
random.
It's kind of like a Big Lots type thing where they get like, you know, overstock stuff sometimes. The 1 cent store. What would that be like if there was a whole store that was all 1 cent
stuff?
It'd
just be like little pieces of candy and like...
Some string.
Yeah, like Beach Boy trading cards. They do have the Beach Boy trading cards at Dollar Tree. I looked them up.
They could break them down like in
it'd be like a card.
One card, yeah.
One magic card. Like.
That'd be great.
One page of a book.
One gumball.
One slice of, one like slice of American cheese.
I don't know. That's. I feel like that would be a couple pennies.
One grape.
Yeah, individual grapes. They would just like be counting them out.
One, all right, that's 50 cents.
57 50 grapes, please.
We're on my stuff.
Yeah, so we left
so
off.
So we talked about movies mainly and did that. That's out now. You can listen to it. And it's a great podcast. You should subscribe to it.
Yeah.
Talk it up.
MMM
comment.
Podcast at...
Cheryl loves hearing
WordPress.com.
Your feedback. So, you know, listen to it. Let us know.
Apparently it's already been getting some good hits there, so.
I think my mom's going to listen to it, and I think she's going to get mad.
Why? She doesn't like Angus?
I might have gotten a little personal.
About Angus?
No.
Oh, okay.
About just life.
Just life in general?
Things that my mom gets upset about.
Okay.
I was deciding on whether or not I was going to tell my mom I was going to Dallas because I knew she was going to freak out. Because I think from multiple angles.
Okay.
One, you can't afford to go to Dallas and because my baby's like dying over here or something.
Right.
Two, you can go to Dallas, but you can't come visit me. There's like multiple
right.
things. And so, but finally I'm like, well, she's going to find out because like I can't like go Facebook silent.
Post something,
like
right.
I got to be posting stuff.
Right.
Like when I meet Shinsuke Nakamura on the street, like I'm not going to be.
You're going to tweet that.
Yeah. And like, so I my mom had sent me this long email about like what's going, it's like typical, you know, here's what's going on. The
right,
weather
right.
out here has been crazy. Oh, cause like work's been really stressed out for her. So, and then I'm like, oh yeah, here's what's going on. And at the very end, by the way, I'm going to Dallas at the end of the month.
Yeah,
and
they're
gonna, like, yeah, I'm talking earlier. And that was like 2 days ago and I haven't heard anything from her. So I think she's very upset.
Even better, she hasn't gotten that far in your letter.
No.
Think she got the letter?
Yeah. I don't know though. Sometimes mom's silence just means like she's
quilting,
doing her thing. She is very busy on the sewing and quilting front.
I know. Well, my kids have the amazing blankets to prove it.
But I don't know. I feel like I dropped that bomb and then like I think she's still recovering. Like, by the way, I'm going to Dallas for WrestleMania and I did. I'm like, I bought the ticket before and I had a lot of dough. And I was like, cause it's like, but I just wanted to come up with some kind of funny tweet about it. Like, my mom, like, I told my mom I'm flying to Dallas to watch wrestling, and I don't think she's stoked on that. Mom, I don't want to visit you, but I'm going to go to Dallas. Well, and
what if they had WrestleMania up in...
They were talking about it in Minneapolis, but I don't think it's going to happen because, okay, the idea of having it in that big new dome stadium, I know it's appealing to Vince, but then being in Minnesota in March, April, I mean...
Who knows?
That's not a good idea because it's like you got all these like because a part of it is like, you know, like when we were in New Orleans, like the whole fringe, like it's wrestling fans, everyone, people are going around. It's like they make a whole weekend,
right.
Even a week out of it. When it's like a blizzard in Minnesota, like that's kind of put a damper on the whole thing. Everybody's flights are like snowed right. in.
The like, roads are closed. Is it always in March?
It's like the end of March, beginning of April.
Okay. Well, so even, yeah.
Which, in the Midwest, is a total crapshoot.
Yeah. Could be hot.
Yeah.
Could be blizzard.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, like, again, that's... And we talked about this last week, and then I randomly texted you, because it just popped in my head. Because last week, we were talking about why doesn't Disney open a park in the Midwest? And I'm like... And then it just popped in there. These are the things that pop into my brain when I'm just like, as opposed to a normal person, where all of a sudden I'm sitting on the couch, and I don't know where this came from, but I'm like, there's no Disneyland in Midwest, because it would have to be seasonal. And then, of course, I texted you, because it would. All the theme parks in the Midwest are seasonal. Disney doesn't do seasonal, because...
Well, and they couldn't not, because you can't have it open when it's a blizzard.
You can't have the theme, like, and plus, like...
Or
the
tornadoes or something.
Plus, the, like, it would, like, the maintenance required to keep the park open during that time would be, like, immense.
So what about, like, Texas?
It's too freaking hot.
Yeah, but they have like Six Flags in Texas.
Yeah, and they're like loyal. But I wouldn't want to go to freaking...
I'm just saying, somewhere there's got to be a middle point.
Texas isn't really middle, though.
Well, the far side of Texas is.
Nah, they're... If those... Anybody that's like in the middle, they're going to Florida.
Yeah, but if there was one there...
They're going to Six Flags. Six Flags is a big part of Texas.
Yeah.
They're very loyal.
Feel like there's got to be a solution.
I don't think so.
Canada needs a Disney.
That's too cold up again. Seasonal.
I know.
Got the same problem because like that World's a Fun park and all the Six Flags that I went to in I went to a Six Flags in Wisconsin. There's one in Missouri and there's a World's a Fun which is owned by Cedar Point. The big they're all seasonal.
Oh, how about this? The first entirely indoor Disney park.
That sounds like a lot of money.
Yeah, but how awesome would that be?
How many billions of dollars would that cost?
There'd be a whole, like, underground Bugs Life land. And it would be all inside. That'd be amazing.
Astro World did close.
See? So there you go. There's room.
That just means that they couldn't support that.
It just means they were trying to invite
Texans
Disney
Texans are
over.
Like a whole other... I don't think Texas would... The average, I don't think they're supportive of Disney.
Maybe. But Kansas.
That's again seasonal.
Is it snow yes. in Kansas?
Yes.
I feel like there's nothing.
People have no idea what the Midwest is like.
I just don't know where
it
starts.
Super hot.
I know that part.
And then it is cold, snow, ice storms.
I feel like Kansas is like more.
Kansas is like you have Colorado, Kansas.
But it's down.
No! You need to look at a freaking map. You don't know where Missouri is.
Okay,
you don't know where Kansas is.
When we do the show, you need to have a map up here so we can be looking at stuff
well,
and referencing.
Kansas, it snows in Kansas.
People always have maps when they're doing podcasts, right?
I guess.
I think you need to have a desk atlas or something.
Why?
So that we can refer to a map.
Because I know where states are.
I know where they are.
No, you don't.
I don't know where the weather is.
You don't know where Kansas is.
I know exactly where it is. I just thought it was not that.
If it snows in Denver, why would it?
Because it's way further south. I mean, further down.
It's not way further down. It's directly.
No, but elevation wise.
Okay. But it still snows.
Okay.
Because they get snowstorms there.
All right.
And tornadoes. Because a
tornado's
here's
bad.
The thing. In the middle, in like that Kansas, Missouri, Iowa, a tornado could come and just destroy the whole park at any time.
Okay. The first underground
which has happened
Disney
to
park.
Some park.
The first underground Disney park.
Underground
All
Disney park.
Underground.
Do you know how much money that...
Yeah, but how much would you pay to like go see... To go to an all underground Disney park with an entire like subterranean
I forgot to start
cavern.
The timer.
Well, we can look. See how far we're in.
We're nine minutes. An hour and 20.
Okay.
All right.
But imagine if you could go to a subterranean theme park, like a full roller coaster, but it's all inside this like artificial cavern.
That sounds great, but that would cost so much money.
But we're dreaming here.
And again, underground means, like, what if something happened and, like, collapsed? Everybody would die.
Well, they would be very structurally
catastrophic.
Sound.
And that means, like, billions of dollars.
Yeah, so that's like one Star Wars movie. There you go. They got the whole entire thing. That's all. They're going to put, like, one every year. They could build one of those parks every year with Star Wars money. You saw how much stuff is on Amazon with Star Wars. They're, like, just raking in money.
They don't get money from the toys. That's all Lucas.
No, they're getting some. They got their finger in that.
I think most of the toy money still goes to Lucas.
I think they get a piece.
I think they get a piece.
Yeah, well, a piece of but tens of billions
Lucas
of dollars.
Lucas is still getting a piece of all that merchandise.
I'm sure it is, but I think they're doing okay.
Well, of course Disney's doing okay. Disney firing
Steve
range.
Wants to have some sort of a Disney. They do. It's at the Old West. In the Frontierland.
It's in the Old West.
The Old West, yeah. Old West. So in Frontierland, they have
a shooting
range.
In the Midwest, they could probably have, like, in Texas.
Just have it a real thing,
gun.
Yeah.
Let's give tourists guns and let them shoot
Why not?
Things. So that's what's going on with the movies. Made Me.
Sweet.
Pretty much all I had going on. We'll talk about it in a minute, but I have a new video game that I'm completely
Ooh.
Addicted to.
Okay. Can't wait to hear about that.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
And we did yard work, which we talked
about.
We
did do yard work. What else did I do? I went to Clarkie's Diner today.
Oh, yeah? Good? Oh, dude. Good place.
I want to... Those cinnamon streusel muffins, you can buy them, but then I'm like, part of what makes it good is, like, the heap of butter that they put on.
Yeah.
It's all heated up. And, like, I feel like I wouldn't want to do that work if I bought... Plus, they're, like, they're still three... So, like, a half dozen is, like, $15.
And then you gotta, like, put a whole stick of butter on top of it.
Well, I think it's, like, just the butter, like, cause it's like a big scoop.
Yeah.
But you have to get, like, it's like a scoop of butter.
Yeah.
And, like, if I ate that every day, I'd probably die.
Yeah, I think you couldn't go a week with that. I don't know. That stuff is good, though.
Oh, my gosh. Cause it's, like, seriously, it's the cinnamon streusel muffin, and it's, like, the cinnamon coffee cake thing, and then they heat it up, they put the butter, and it seriously melts in your mouth. When you put it in your mouth.
Okay, so we've been doing
this. It's the
best
thing. You're doing really good. So it's probably not helping you.
But
I also had a dream about Red Robin, and now I want to go to Red Robin.
Red Robin's good. Just get the protein burgers.
This happened in my dream. I'm not doing that.
Well, I'm saying I can.
Okay, so this happened in my dream, and it kind of presented this hypothetical situation.
Okay.
Because my dreams are so weird.
Okay.
So I dreamt that I went to Universal Studios. And they had a Red Robin at Universal Studios.
Okay.
And they were going to – and I was waiting for, like, a friend to go get there. I don't know. So I was, like, really hungry.
Okay.
So I go to the Red Robin at Universal Studios, and they were, like – they're, like – so this is – but this is a good hypothetical situation. So – No, normally, like, fast food at a theme park. Like, imagine how much Red Robin at a theme park would cost.
Yeah.
Probably, like, $25 for, like, a burger and everything.
Totally.
So, I get up there, and I'm like, I only have this much money, but I'm not sure I'm going to be able to pay for this, but I want to have Red Robin. So, then they're like, oh, we have a special deal. This guy just sent this burger back. Here you go, $10. And I'm looking at it, but I'm like, it looks okay. They're like, oh, no, nothing's wrong with it. He just wanted a different one.
So you get, like, a bargain if you eat someone's reject.
It's a reject burger, but nothing is wrong with it. It just was on somebody else's table.
I mean, how much is it, free, or you have to pay?
It was, like, $5.
That's,
like, a 75% discount.
Don't know.
If it was on somebody else's table.
Well, see, it depends.
They didn't touch it.
Because there was a time, I've gone in stages in life. Because there was a time when Matt Moss and I would go to pizza places, and we would, like, scope out when people would just leave leftover pizza, and we'd go and eat their pizza.
Oh, my God.
Like, I very distinct.
That is a freaking homo.
Matt and I did a lot
that
of
is
homo
like,
stuff.
That is the – because I don't know if you've ever heard Derek go crazy on Benson, because Benson said if he was a waiter, he would – eat like food that left if it was in it, and Benson, and that made Derek go completely insane. So that, like, that's a hypothetical thing.
Matt and I did a lot of hobo things. We dumpster dived.
Okay, here's the thing that I actually did this once because I was starving.
Okay,
hotel. You know how people leave the, like, food out?
Oh, God.
And it was, but it was an untouched, still under the thing. I think they ordered too much or something. It was completely untouched sandwich.
I mean, I guess I could see that. Because the thing with the pizza is it's sitting on, you know, they have like a big thing there and they eat, they just don't, they leave it. It's not like it's like have bites, doesn't have bites out of it or anything.
But you don't know what they, some kid could have slobbered on that.
We were watching.
We you watch the whole time.
We sit there, we get buy a drink and then you sit there and scope it out. And you see who's like not being gross with their pizza. And then you go get their leftovers. We would go to the we went to the Bullwinkle's pizza place off the 10 freeway.
That's also
there.
Where you stole the cups from, too.
Well, Matt stole those. I just inherited it from him afterwards.
Okay.
I'm just in possession of stolen goods. I didn't actually take them. But yeah, we would sit there. We would go out there. We'd buy the drinks, and then we'd scope it out. We'd sit there in the room where they had the animatronic show that goes every like 10 minutes, and then we'd just see.
Oh
know.
My gosh!
Yeah,
dude, how like starving poor college kids are you? That
yeah.
That's
what you're doing? We'd have a nice day of dumpster diving. Then we go trade in our cans at the recycling place and go find pizza left over at the pizza place. That's a perfect day.
So you'd sit there and watch people.
Yeah, well, I mean, not stare at them, but just keep an eye and see if someone's going to be gross about it, you know. Yeah.
So my hypothetical dream situation.
Yeah, the answer was I've done that in real life, yes. This is no hypothetical.
Because I woke up and I'm like, I don't think I would do that because you're like, you don't know where that burger's been. Like, what's wrong with that burger that they're...
Well, if you're just coming in and you don't know, you can't, you know, you don't have any frame of reference.
Yeah.
If you could, like, you know, observe them casually and see that they're not being gross about it, sure.
But then I like, well, and then I just wanted like Red Robin like really well,
so
bad.
So you would sit at the bar and then like you would wait and you just, there's no guarantee when you're going to get it. But as soon as someone sends something back and it could be like a buffet thing, like as much stuff that gets sent back as you can eat. $10 to sit there and it's all you can eat rejects.
Oh my gosh.
The reject buffet. I think I would do that.
But I'd have to, you'd have to watch every reject because you don't know like.
Well, yeah, but then. You know, the waiter is going to take it over there, and they're not like, I mean, you know, if they're going through and like pulling lettuce out and touching the pickles, then I'm not going to eat it, you know. But if it's just they look at it and
but
say,
that's
oh.
The thing, like, so part of it would be a lot of work because you have to watch.
Yeah. Well, maybe if you wanted to go like high end, they could have a little like camera bank, you know, where you could like observe each table and see like, oh, this guy, no, he just like licked the ketchup off of it first. I'm not going to eat his thing. This is a good idea. It's a good business model.
Man.
Yeah. You didn't know that, huh?
No.
Yeah. I mean, you've got dumpster diving.
I mean, I know the level, but like, I know how germaphobe crazy you
are. That's why I say, like.
That just seems like very uncharacteristic of you.
It is. And
although you did eat the candy bar in the bathroom.
I did. So I've gone in stages. And there's times when, like, my brain out-logics itself. Like,
maybe this is where poor overrode, yeah, like, the need to eat food.
I have no money. I'm in college. I've got no job. I'm hungry. I have paid for the very bare minimum of food of meal plan because that's all I can afford. So I got to make up a meal here and there. So we go to the pizza place. scavenge food.
But you buy a soda.
Buy a soda. Otherwise, they're going to, like, stare at you. You're just, like, a bum. I mean, then you're literally a bum. Like, at least you buy a soda.
I cannot tell you how much Derek freaked out at this Benson idea of, like, as a waiter. Because as a waiter, you could, like, that's what he said. He's like, you'd scope it out. You would scope it out the whole time.
I wouldn't
you know where
off
that food is.
Stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, if they had, like, you know, chicken wings and they didn't get to some of the chicken wings, I don't see why not.
Did you do that with the chicken wings?
No, I'm just saying if you're a waiter, I'm picturing, like,
only
foods.
Pizza.
I've only done that with pizza. And the funny part is, I don't know if Matt or I started it, but the first time I ever did that was when I still lived at home with my parents. My mom, like, dared me to do it, because we watched as these people got up at this pizza place, they ate, like, 3 slices of pizza, and they had, like, 3/4 of a pizza left, and they're like, that was such a waste.
Oh, I'm
like,
totally taking
I'll
that
pizza. I'll go grab it. Yeah, why not? And the best part, though, or the worst part, is the first time this happened, it was in Lake Arrowhead at a pizza place, and so I, like, ran, I, like, look around, I go sneak over there and start carrying the pizza back to my table, and as I do that, the people start walking back in through the front door, because they had, like, forgotten their purse or something.
Oh, what if they had forgotten their pizza?
Oh, that would have been really bad. But, like, so I, like, sat it down on the table, and I think they didn't notice, because they were just going for their purse, but I was like, oh, my God.
What if they were like, where's our pizza?
Pizza. And then they go to the manager, like, where's our pizza? And they're like, we didn't clean up the table. Sir, where'd you eat the pizza? Sir, put down the pizza.
The pizza thieves.
Pizza thieves, yeah. It's reality. So now you know. Your dreams have come true.
I have weird. Why am I dreaming about Red Robin at Phantom Red Robin at Universal?
I don't know.
But and it was like a Universal Horror Nights thing, and I was waiting for. This is weird. I was waiting for Emily Hardy.
Okay.
Well, I think because we went to Knott's that one time.
Yeah.
I got in trouble that night because like Emily had parked like somewhere because she had got there super late.
Right.
So Emily had parked, she had parked out like on Beach Boulevard somewhere. So I agreed to walk her to her car and like Mike and the whole bus, like they like were the way because the park closed and then they meet at the bus and the park closed. So I didn't realize how long it would take. And then also like we were like on the verge of dating. And so I was like, you know.
Taking your time.
Taking my time. Yeah, yeah. Getting the huggies.
Yeah.
And snuggies. No smooches. There was a possibility. It was a definite possibility.
Mike sitting back there with a bunch of people on the bus.
50 bus. And I remember the bus driver was like, we should have left you. Like, but Mike understood the situation, so he was fine. Other people were not fine. Because it was like 2 in the morning and everybody just wanted to get home. So we had to drive all the way back to San Diego.
Oh my gosh.
But hey.
Hey. Little snuggies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
Got some snuggies.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Dream time. Man's dream has come true.
Man, that was like the... Okay. We talked about this a little bit last time, like relationships and stuff.
Yeah.
I think I psyched myself out of that relationship.
Yeah.
Because the whole time I was like this, and like Derek talked to me about this just this week. He's like I lack, I think that was like, and as now as much as I lack self-confidence sometimes in key, most of the time I'm cool, but then like in key situations.
Right.
Oh, that's what I didn't talk about. Crap, that's the next thing. I forgot about that.
Okay.
Oh yeah. So we'll just put it down here so I don't forget.
Oh yeah.
So, okay. So Derek and I talked about this is because he witnessed me have this total like doubting myself. He's like, what are you doing? Like, you're the same as this person. Right. Like, you're, in fact, I think you're better. Like, you're great. But like, so imagine 19-year-old Brendo and like had only been on like a couple dates. And so this whole situation with Emily, it's statute of limitations a long time ago.
Yeah.
It's fine. And also because you were around for this situation.
Right.
And so like, I think I like totally psyched myself out of that. Cause that was a one where like we went on like dates. Like we went to, I took her to Angelo and Vinci's.
Yeah.
I went to her apartment. Cause like I was living in San Diego at the time and I would come up and visit.
Right.
And then like I came up and we went to Not Scary Farm. We like at her, cause we were hanging out with like my friends and like Mike and everybody. And she's like, don't you want to go? And like we went on our own.
Yeah.
And like,
I remember this very well.
And like it was a really big deal. And then again, like, I freaked out. And again, like, things probably could have happened and I was too scared. And also, again, like, I'm a very confused person, like, is when it comes to that stuff. And,
just get inside your own head.
So, and I think with that one, like, I guess you have to ask her, but like, I think part of it for a while, she would just be a nice, cause I also have to deal with that. So I'm much of this is just, cause especially at Biola. But
nice can be like, parlayed into something.
Exactly. Right, cause you always, attitude. And like, I was learning from the Book of Phil, cause you know, but like, I feel like with me, it was always like, I'm just like, well, they're just being nice and like, how much is, but then like, again, we went on multiple outings, there was multiple stuff. She's hanging around, but she also was like one of those super nice girls. But and then like I just at some point I got so psyched out that I like stopped.
Yeah,
like I'm done. And then like a few months later, she was like, I think for a while she was like, I don't know what happened. And then she was like dating some other dude.
Yeah,
but like
we're not gonna wait around.
But I feel like. But then I'm like, I don't know.
And again, I mean, I don't know exactly what happened on the other side, obviously. I only know from your perspective, but.
But I feel like that's all of my, is it all, is it, But then I'm like, but on the other hand, I'm like, what if she wasn't interested and she's just being nice? And then that's every single relationship I've ever had is just they're putting up with me because I'm not threatening enough. Because I'm not like, I'm not making moves because I'm so scared. And also, I'm again not sure that this is even what I want. So
it's hard.
So then I'm, but then I'm, but then if that's true, I don't know. I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what, then I'm like, I don't know what's wrong with me. Like, what's wrong with me? Why am I even?
See, because that's the thing. Like, I feel like I walk into the situation and go, man, I know they really want to date me. I got to decide if this is like going to work out for me or not. I'll let you know. Like, it just, it's all about the approach. And I've been told, especially by Josh, that my dating advice is useless unless you're in my own brain.
Well, it's so. Like Don Draper. Like, Don Draper's techniques only work if you're Don Draper. Yeah. And I feel like Phil's techniques only work if you're Phil Vecchio. I don't think
they're universally helpful at all. But again, in that kind of situation, I would go into it like, man, I know she definitely wants to date me, so I'll, let's see how this works out. Like, there's
until not, you're proven otherwise.
Yeah, why, innocent until proven guilty? Well, I'm attractive until proven otherwise, you know.
But I, yeah, that's the situation. I guess that's what that situation was.
Yeah.
And I did. I like psyched myself out of that. I went for, cause it was like, started off like great. And then I just, and then also I feel like at some point a girl would probably be interested, but then my lack of like, then they, cause I know for a fact, like, my lack of doing anything then like caused them to be like, well, he's not interested.
Right.
And I know that's happened at least once. But then my lack of interest, that comes from multiple things. So, I don't know. Got pretty serious there. It's me talking through.
It's real.
My issues.
Well, it was brought up from, wait, was that conversation at this thing?
Well, though, cause, right? Well, also, so anyway, so the other thing that happened last week, which I almost totally forgot,
yeah.
Was, April Richardson, who is like my favorite podcaster, comedian, person. She did go Bayside. It's like my favorite thing ever. Like, it's not like, cause like she probably has lots of dudes creeping on her cause
probably.
She's a very attractive woman. But for me, it's like, no, she's somebody I feel like we could be like best buds and she's super cool. And then Jerry got mad cause she's like, it sounds like me. I'm like, no, I already do have an April Richardson. I guess that's true. Cause Jerry's awesome. It's also Jerry's birthday today.
Hey.
Well, now when she listens to us, it won't be anymore.
Past, yeah.
But super happy, double happy birthdays. She took it off. I think she took her, cause when you take your birthday out of Facebook, it won't remind your friends.
Oh yeah.
So I don't know if she did it on purpose, but then Facebook memories remembered a happy birthday post.
Yep.
So I'm like, ha! Like I still.
Gotcha.
Gotcha.
I think I liked that because I saw that you posted that, so.
But I thought that was funny because I'm like, because at first I'm like, I don't have any birthdays today.
You can't and get then away from Facebook.
And then I was like, I think it's Jerry's birthday. I knew Jerry's birthday was coming up. And I'm like, I think it's today. I'm not sure. And then the Facebook memories thing is like, oh yeah, you posted about Jerry's birthday like 3 years ago. So I'm like, aha!
Gotcha.
So, April Richardson tweeted that she was doing two different show live events last Wednesday. And the first one was at UCB and it cost money. And the second one was this once a month. It's like a storytelling show called Public School. And it's in Silver Lake.
Sounds super cool.
It was at this place. Now I forgot the name of the place. But it was really
the
awesome.
Cafe, hotel cafe?
No, that is where the
Eric, oh, that's right.
That's
I'm
where.
Confused. There's a lot of venues out there.
So I was at this bar and it was free and it was a storytelling show. I've always wanted to go to a storytelling show because I feel like I could actually do a storytelling show. And then, so this show is called Public School. It's been going on for like 7 years. The woman that puts on this show, man, I wish I had written down her name. She was like amazing.
Yeah.
She told this crazy story about because she works for Vice and like it was hilarious and also depressing because like sounds like Vice is horrible and like
kind of had an inkling of that, you know.
She was amazing. There was some other people that got up there and told these awesome stories because the theme, so there's a theme and then everybody tells a story on theme and the theme for this one was I gotta get out of here, like awkward, like crazy situations. So April came, April, first of all, April made a got a tailored suit that's an exact replica of the suit that David Bowie wears in the Modern Love video. And she was wearing it. It's freaking amazing. And then she gets up there, and she's so funny. And, like, because Derek, I guess, had never even heard of her. And I'm like, oh, dude, you're in for – and, like, right away, he's like, oh, she's amazing. She was. She's super funny. And so she told this story about where she went to a Morrissey show in Stockton.
Okay.
Which, if anybody's not familiar with Stockton, California, it's, like, the most dangerous city in the country. And she had never been to Stockton because she's from Georgia. She'd never been to Stockton, didn't know anything about Stockton. And so she just kind of, like, she got there super early. And then she just, like, walked around Stockton, not realizing, like, she's like, there's nobody outside. There's nothing going on. And basically, it's a story about how she almost got murdered.
Well, sounds hilarious.
But it's like, the, I gotta get out of here. But the way she told it, very entertaining. But anyways, so I brought some, cause I'm like, okay, this is it. I'm gonna meet April Richardson. I'm gonna make it happen. But like in a non-weird, creepy way. Gotta be cool. And I remember I called you. I'm all psyched up. But I'm all
what
like,
am I gonna do?
And so I brought backup.
Yes.
Derek came. And then I brought Kat. Well, I invited Lizzie and Kat, but Lizzie's car was in the shop.
Right.
And from the Blaze, because I know they wanted to talk to April to get her on the Blaze. So I'm like, hey, Kat, you should come to this. And it would be awesome. But also, we got to back up when I go talk to April. And so we did that. And we met April Richardson. And we talked to her for like 15 minutes. And we just hung out. And we talked about Saved by the Bell. And it was amazing.
Awesome.
She was amazing. Oh, it was great, you guys. It was so great. April was so cool. And, like, talked about Saved by the Bell and, like, meeting people that, like, your hero. Because, like, she met Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Right.
And she is going to do the – at some point, she's going to do – she's working on – she's going to do with Jimmy Pardo and Paul F. Tompkins. She's going to do the wedding, the Saved by the Bell, the Vegas movie. Because she already did one of the movies, and now she's going to do the Vegas wedding movie. She is still trying to get Mark Paul Gosselaar, but she doesn't know if that's going to...
That'd be cool.
She might just do him in, like, an interview.
Right.
And that might be the last one. And she... But, yeah. So, but it was... We talked to her for, like, 15 minutes, and it was amazing.
That's awesome.
And I hope she gets... If I don't know if we're going to... She's ever going to be on Radio Brendoman, but I think there's a good chance she might be on The Blaze.
That's good.
And that'd be amazing.
That's 6 degrees of separation. You're on The Blaze, she's on The Blaze.
But she was on the Nerdist with MPG. That's when she met him. So that's we talked about that, and
that's cool.
Just talking to her, she was so cool. Gave us all hugs. She's a very nice person.
It probably helped having a little entourage.
Yeah,
then it doesn't feel so weird.
And having a girl there.
Yeah.
Because Kat's like, did you bring me here just so you could be with her in April? I'm like, yes and no. Is that cool? She's like, no, it was cool because we all had fun. And then Kat told me about this open mic storytelling show that she does at UCB, and I think I might go do that.
Yeah. So this one that you went to,
it's like an invite
for, like, what? Or yeah, I mean, you have to be invited.
This is like an invite only, like high level situation.
But the other one,
it's like an open mic. You put your name in a hat. You might get picked. You might not. You
should do it.
It is at 6 p.m. on a Monday in Hollywood.
That's rough.
Which either way could get destroyed traffic wise.
Unless you make a day of it,
that's like a big deal to make a day of it.
Yeah.
So, but I'm probably gonna do it at some point.
That would be really cool.
But speaking of the Blaze, they've got Jensen Karp on this week, which I mean, holy crap, it's awesome.
Doing quite well.
And that's 90210blaze.tumblr.com. It's Blaze with a Z, Kat. And but it was cool hanging out. Kat and Derek had a good time. And again, this show, Public School, it's free.
It's awesome.
It was amazing. I'm definitely going to start going more frequently.
Now, speaking of open mics, we had a conversation about this.
Oh, yeah.
We struck
we worked out a little
here.
Deal.
Yes. Let's tell
so
them about
we
that.
So have looked into this more?
I haven't since then because
okay.
It's been nuts.
So I have been talking about, I even did my 5 minutes on this show.
Yeah.
No negative feedback.
Yeah, that's good.
So I guess that's okay. So we had talked about doing an open mic, but I kind of like had second thoughts, and especially like in Yukaipo, it would be weird.
Yeah.
But then you talked about it with Janelle, And Janelle agreed that you guys would do a if I agree to do an open mic at the Queen Bean Cafe here in Ukiah, you and Janelle will do a live valet song.
Yes, that's correct. Or a song.
Which you have never done.
We have played many times in practice, but never played. We've done worship, like, church stuff before.
Yeah.
But have never done live valets, like, just our band.
Dude, you could do the whole family band.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get Audrey and Luke up there.
Get them in there. I don't know. I mean, depending on, because that you know, it might be just a simple, like, me play guitar and Janelle sing kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, it depends on what their setup is and stuff. I haven't gone to their open mic there in, like, 2 years, so I need to, like, scope it out.
So it'd be me doing my awkward stand-up, and you guys...
No, we said
you would rock the his ass.
Well, I would love to do it.
I can't do it. Because if I'm doing the storytelling, and, like, if it's probably, what, like, 5 minutes...
I don't know. I feel like sometimes it's like you might get 10 or something. So I don't
think I could do a story. I think I'd probably... And I also just want to try doing stand-up.
Yeah.
And see how it feels.
My end of the deal was you just have to get up and do something.
Well, I got my 5 minutes. Yeah. I've been writing some material. Yeah.
I think you should do it. And so that's what we're going to do. Again, we said we're going to do it back after the vacation.
We'd have to get video of this.
Oh, definitely. It'll be after you get back, because we're gone, and then you're gone. There's not time.
So that might be happening soon.
Yeah. We're going to open mic. So, Ukiah folks, or other nearby types.
What if it goes well, and then we could do a little open mic tour?
Yeah. Well, and again, I've always wanted to do, like, I mean, I've played live in bands. I've played in multiple bands. I've toured with bands.
But you...
I've done, like, church music, but Janelle and I, in our band, we've recorded an album.
Yeah.
We just have never actually played it live, so it'll be fun. So, that's the plan.
You got any new songs?
Yeah. I mean, I played that, like, a rough demo of one, like a new one for you.
Mm-hmm.
That, just me on guitar, and I was actually singing it. So, that's probably one that we'll do. And then, you know, we have other ones that we've recorded in the past. Got the hits. I mean, to be fair, we've probably recorded a grand total of, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 songs, something like that ever.
Yeah.
You know, and we've played other stuff live, and I have other ones that we've written, but we don't have, like, a giant catalog or anything, but we could get a couple songs out of it.
If you guys agree to do that, I'll humiliate myself for 5 minutes.
That's the plan. And get
live valets.
Always wanted to do it. It's time.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
At some point, we also have to do a live Burning Man All-Stars song.
Well, that's up in Big Bear when we do the thing in Big Bear.
Well, that's our live show.
Well, but we said we might as well do that while we're doing it.
Yeah, but that's going to take some preparation.
Well, definitely. This is all going to take some preparation. But I think we can do that. I think it would make sense to do it up there while that's we're in a live setting.
Yeah.
Knock it all out at once, because we're going to want to record that stuff anyway.
We'll have to record it.
So that way, you know... Get it done. But we could also do the open mic with that stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, either way.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah. Good stuff. Very exciting stuff. I bet we could get a few people to come out to one of those things.
Open like mic. Ukiah people.
Well, yeah, but I don't know. We might get some other of our local, you know, not too far away types.
Maybe.
Some you know, some of our Palm Springs or Moreno Valley or Riverside folk. You know who you are. So, sweet. What's up next?
Book Corner. All right. So, I finished Skippy Dies.
Yeah?
Skippy died.
Well, it's in the title. I mean, I kind of figured he was gonna.
Well, he dies at the beginning and then it's like a flash.
Right, yeah.
And then, but, oh my gosh. One, this book is amazing and beautiful, but it got really dark, like, really quickly.
Really?
So, it does take place at a Catholic boarding school.
Oh, gosh.
So, use your
imagination. I can imagine.
And they go there.
Yeah? Yeah?
It's like, okay, so, one of my favorite books and movies... that also takes place, like, at a boys' Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Dangerous Lives of Altar Boys. But...
Oh, they made a movie of that.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Book and then a movie.
Right.
Kieran Culkin, Emile Hirsch. That was, like, one of Emile Hirsch's first movies. But I bet Alice P. Keaton was sad about Skippy dying.
That was good, Steve.
So... What everybody, I think a lot of people didn't watch it because they thought it was going to involve
right.
the stuff.
But it wasn't about that.
Not at all.
Right.
But this also, it wasn't the main thing. I mean, mostly it's, again, they both share common themes of, like, teen angst, angry boys, right. That period. But then Skippy Die just goes so much far beyond that, where you also have, like, this dude who's kind of having, like, this, like, quarter-life crisis who's one of the teachers. Then there's, like, because it covers multiple perspectives. You've got, like, this crazy drug story. Mm. You've got these other stories. But then, like, the actual Skippy story, again, gets really dark really quickly. It's very sad. But it's also, like, very uplifting, too, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's just really well done, and I loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. Thank you, Jerry, for sending me that book. If anybody else wants to send me books,
you'll read them.
I'll read those books.
Right.
You need to get on that, like, author review train or something.
Sure. Do you review them? That's right. If you write a book. Man, if you guys make anything, if you make music or write books or draw pictures or anything, like, tell us about it. We'll tell other people about it.
Heck yeah.
I just love seeing what people make, so.
Speaking of somebody making something.
Yeah.
So, this is an interesting story. Like, I feel like this was like, man, it would have been like 7 or 8 years ago, because I was still, it was when I was still staying at the Sheraton at Comic-Con and taking the bus.
Okay.
Because I met this guy on the bus named Mike Kingston, and he did this comic. He was there promoting his comic called Headlocked, mm-hmm. which is about wrestling. So, of course, I started talking. I'm like, wrestling comic? Like, that sounds amazing. Tell me about this. So then after I met him and talked to him on the bus, and he's the one that, like, he kind of gave me some insider tips, because it was one of those things where, like, you never know what's going to happen when you wear your professional badge.
Right.
Because he was like, what's your deal? And so we told him. And I think we were getting ready to do some cons, and, like, I think Dwex was about to happen and some other stuff. And I was asking him, because he's like, because he does conventions all over the country. I'm excited because I'm going to see him. He's going to be at WonderCon.
Nice.
And he's going to be at WrestleCon. So I get to, and he always has, like, he's the one, my picture with the Young Bucks, because he gets those guys, like, the wrestlers to come to his booth, and, like, it's awesome. And anyways, so he was the one that told me, he's like, oh yeah, don't buy a table at Wizard World. Eventually they'll probably just give them away. And that's exactly what happened.
We're still on their website as far as I know.
So, the Wizard World's still up there. Sadly, I think with Smodco just totally redid the website. So my Brendoman page on smodcast.com is gone.
Bummer.
And tell me, like, oh, that was a good thing when people Googled me to be there right next to, like, real celebrities. Yeah. But the Wizard World one is very similar. But that's still there.
You'll get back on there.
So, I've been following Mike in his book for years, and he released the first one. It was called A Single Step. And then I missed out on that because he did a Kickstarter for it.
Right.
And then he did a Kickstarter for The Last Territory, which I did that one, and then this one that I just did the Kickstarter for was The Last Territory Volume 2, so it's about this guy getting into the wrestling business, and then he ends up, and it's this really great comic about, like, the underside of the wrestling business, done from, like, because most wrestling comics are freaking garbage. It's like Ultimate Warrior made these comics where it was like him kidnapping Santa Claus and like all this weird stuff about that. And then like the actual WWF, the newer ones, because I actually bought one of them, they do some like fun stuff, but they're still like very silly. And like the 80s and 90s ones are like total garbage. So like having a wrestling comic that actually treats it with like respect and is like, it's a really cool story, even for non-wrestling fans. Like, it was something, I would not be ashamed to show this to, like, you,
right.
Or, like, a normal person, because it's a cool story. And so, this is called, Headlock, The Last Territory, Volume 2. It's not available for regular purchase yet, because he just shipped it out to the Kickstarter backers. I got mine digital, of course.
Of course.
But it's really awesome.
Sweet.
And you can check it out at, I think it's, let me get the website, just cause everybody, and he does, I think he is selling it at conventions. It's headlockedcomic.com. So, I think that should be going up on sale anytime now, if you're interested. But, and he's also gonna be doing two Kickstarters this year. They're doing like a, a new, like, it's like almost like a prequel comic, and then they're doing the next volume of The Last Territory.
Sweet.
It's also got some awesome artwork from Jerry the King Lawler. He does the cover. So Lost Territory Volume 1 was like a, it was a Norman Rockwell painting. This one, it's another Norman Rockwell type painting.
Sweet.
But Jerry Lawler, like, he's an amazing artist.
That's cool.
And then some other wrestlers do like some, little side stories. But I think those are just for the Kickstarter edition. Mm. So if you didn't, but make sure you get in on the Kickstarter because there's lots of little cool goodies. So yeah, Headlocked, very cool, liked it a lot. And Mike is really cool. And like, for instance, like at his booth, Comic-Con, if you're going to a convention and the Headlock booth is there and you're anything of a wrestling fan, he always has cool guests. Like at Comic-Con, I met the Young Bucks, met Sami Zayn, met Booker T. And this, I think at WonderCon, he's bringing MVP. I don't know. No, he's bringing somebody. Huh. I'm excited. I'm definitely excited to check out his booth, WonderCon, and at WrestleCon. Super excited for WrestleCon in Dallas. I guess I haven't talked. There is a new development.
Oh, yeah?
In the Dallas. It seems like, so I made a funny post about it, and, so tonight on Raw, Sami Zayn made his main roster re-debut.
Okay.
So, cause Sami Zayn's wrestling Shinsuke Nakamura, my favorite wrestler in the whole world, and NXT, and that's that whole crazy situation
right.
where the tickets are like crazy expensive. Probably not gonna be able to go. I mean, I'm gonna make an attempt.
Right.
Also working a few angles.
Right.
Trying to work my little mojo, but I'm no guarantees. So the wrestling gods were looking at that. They're like, oh, Brendo, you're very sad about this. Well, here. Sami Zayn started a feud with Kevin Owens tonight on Raw. I think we're going to get at least a multi-man match in some form or another. Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, WrestleMania. Holy crap.
Wow,
holy freaking crap.
Good.
So it's like, you don't get that, but here, you're gonna get this.
You get that.
And I'm super excited. And like, again, I just thinking about Kevin, cause there are still people on the internet that are convinced that Kevin Owens is like, getting ruined by WWE. And I'm like, Kevin Owens' progression in WWE is completely insane, and I would dare say unprecedented. Maybe the only person that's had this level of success in such a quick time might be, like, maybe Brock Lesnar, because, like, he won, like, the title and everything, like, in his first year there.
Right.
But that didn't last. Like, I feel like with Kevin, they're building this long-term thing. So let's just look at the last, for instance, the last three WrestleManias. WrestleMania 30 in New Orleans. Kevin Owens was Kevin Steen, not even in the WWE, and he was wrestling for Ring of Honor. I saw him at the Ring of Honor, and I saw him at WrestleCon, and I talked to him for like 15 minutes at WrestleCon about pandas.
All right.
WrestleMania 31 in San Jose. He is the NXT champion. So already in 1 year, he's the NXT champion. He's still developmental, but he is the champion. And I waited 30 minutes in line at Access to get my picture with him. WrestleMania 32 in Dallas, Texas. He is the WWE Intercontinental Champion wrestling a match at WrestleMania, which people spend their whole careers trying to get, let alone as a champion. Like, it's not the world champion, but again, he's only been in the company. And at Access, he's a VIP guest, which means you have to pay $150 to get your pick. So I'm not even
doing that. You're priced out already.
Already. I went from walking up and talking to him for 15 minutes in less than 2 years to I would have had to pay $150 to see him.
Wow.
Like, that is crazy. If you don't see that as success, like, you are crazy. So that's my little wrestling rant there. Moving on.
What else are you reading?
Currently reading. Still working on complete book of screenwriting. J. Michael Straczynski.
Yeah.
Then I am like 80% done with The Untold History of Japanese Game Developers Volume 2. If you have any interest in video games, especially as like these are the guys that made all of our games as a like all growing
right.
up, and but he gets into more modern stuff and talk to the guys that made like Clock Tower and some of like all kinds of other games. I remember this because I thought it was crazy, but apparently a lot of people bought it.
Okay.
Steel Battalion for Xbox, where it came with this insane controller setup where it was like pedals, four different like gear shift boxes and control. It probably cost like hundreds of dollars.
Like a tank, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like a tank game.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't have that or
that's
anything.
That's crazy. And this guy that wrote it, I think he was personally, because he actually took, he's from the UK, so he's like, I had a caravan, which is like a camper.
Right.
And he actually set up like a cardboard thing and made his own cockpit for it and a little TV. He turned his caravan into a tank.
That's awesome.
So you could tell he was very excited when he's interviewing all these people, like, just like all kinds of random, like the guy that made Mighty Bomb Jack and like all these other games. Like, for the guy that made it, like, because remember we were making fun of that game, a bunch of games that we saw at Arcade Expo, and we're like, what the heck are these? So, like, the guy that made Warp Warp.
Oh, yeah.
And you're talking Warp about, Warp, and then, yeah. And then the big one was he interviewed all the people that made, it was the guys that made, they worked with Hudson, but what's it called, the game that... That's Adventure Island,
Kid something?
Yeah. But they made that, and then, but
gosh, all I can think of is Kid Cudi.
But they had this deal with Hudson where they would make those games and they would license them, and Hudson, their whole deal was Hudson could use the game, but they had to, like, they couldn't use the actual game. They could just take the concept and make their own game with it. So that's how you got Adventure Island.
Because the other
Adventure
one
Kid. I think it's Adventure Kid.
Yeah, I think that's
something like that. I don't know. But, and then they also made a different one called, like, Monster or something. And, well, don't you have the Sega one?
I do. I just can't think of it.
And then they had the arcade version. So, he interviews the guy that made the arcade cabinet that we played.
That's so crazy. Well, and here's the bummer about it. You sent me a text the other day, and as you said, the bundle's like up at 7, make sure you get on it. And I looked at it at like 7:12 and I'm like, I missed it, I forgot.
Check your texts.
I know. Well,
you're turning into a millennial with your poor response.
I'm too slow. Well, yeah, but there's a line though where like there's the super millennials are like on it all the time. Like I'm like in between. Like I don't take like days to get back, but I'm also not like super on it all the time. What is the actual thing called?
So, anyways, that book.
All right.
So anyway, but you can also get it on Amazon. And
yeah, they're
and
there.
His intro even complains that unless the sales are really big for this one, because he has it, it's supposed to be a 3-part series. But unless the sales are like amazing for this one, like part 3 is not going to happen.
Oh man!
And I hope it does because I really love these books.
Wonder Boy. There you go.
But the same company made all these other games, and so again, like, cause he'll go by, like, company, and he interviews, like, a bunch of guys from, and they talk about the whole history, they talk about the offices, and it's just, like, reading about, it's fascinating stuff, like, it's amazing, but it's funny, cause it's weird, he has some weird biases that show through in, like, some of his work, and also some weird attitudes about women.
Interesting.
And then he talks about people getting offended about that, like he gets very defensive, and I'm like, there was one part where I'm pretty like laissez-faire about that, but there's a part where a developer basically, like, he's talking with this dude about like women in gaming, and the developer says, I kid you not. Cause I'm like, cause this is where I'm like, again, cause he talked about like people getting offended and like it shouldn't be,
right.
This is like, he goes on these rants every once in a while. And it really takes you out of this. And I'm like, okay, I kind of get what you're saying. Cause I think like, especially in creative efforts, like there is this culture where they're very non-creative people are trying to tell creative people like what to do and I guess things. And like, anyway, so I get that.
Okay.
But then when you have this interview where there's this prominent Japanese game developer saying that most women probably, and I'm basically paraphrasing what he says. It's super offensive.
Okay.
Women probably don't make very good programmers because part of the month they're on their periods, and during that time they won't make good decisions. Oh, I swear to God. And he, if I'm like interviewing somebody, I'm gonna maybe ask him about that, but he basically just nods his head like, all right, and he keeps nothing. Nothing. And meanwhile, he's trying to say, like, people get really offended and, like, but then, like, they're saying, then he says these crazy things about women in gaming. He constantly, even he asks a female gamer, he does the whole, like, balancing family questions you would never ask a dude gamer.
How do you balance work and family?
Asking women, the women that he interviews.
Which is one of my favorite parts of
But like, yeah, the way and like,
it's, it reminds me of that Freaks and Geeks episode where the dad, where Mr. Weir, he's like, you know, we never had a woman president. It's called Three Irrational Days a Month. We're talking about the atomic bomb here.
So basically, but this guy straight up says like, women don't make bad programmers because they can't make good decisions because they're on their periods. And I'm like, first of all, I don't really see how that would affect your decision-making process.
No, nor your ability to type code. Like,
it was insane! And the fact that he didn't even do anything, I'm like, this is crazy! Yeah. And then he's like, writes these whole big rants like, people just get super offended about everything now, blah, 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 and also towards women, and like, women are getting offended. I'm like, this is why women are getting offended.
You're
like,
being offensive.
Like, and I'm like, oh my gosh. So that was kind of crazy.
Okay.
But I mean, it's still really great. And again, the interviews he gets.
Spite of the misogyny.
Like, he went to Japan for 7 months. But I just, that kind of blew my mind a little bit. Man. So I was like, woof. And then, because at first I'm like, all right, I can get what you're saying, and then that, and like some other things. Like, again, the way he interviews the women in the book, it's very, he does not interview them the way he interviews the dudes.
How
and
I'm like, balance working,
baby? How, like, he asks that every time. Because, well, having children, that must be very hard. I'm like, you don't ask a dude that, so why would you ask a woman that? Like, again, you're basically saying, you should be home with your kids, and like, not
yeah. What are you doing out here?
Yeah. And I get that, like, yes, that's a probably more prevalent in Japanese culture. But as a, like, I don't know, I don't, like, it seems like, I don't know.
I know. It's bad.
I also, I bought this is another book that I bought at the time when I bought all those books at the dollar store, which is no longer with us, at the recommendation of my friend Sarah, and it's Never Let Me Go by Kazuho something.
Okay.
It's a movie.
Yeah.
Anna Kendrick. Sure. It's the one where they're, like, clones. For organ harvesting.
Oh yeah, I think I saw that.
I didn't see the movie, but this is the book, and it's really good so far.
Cool.
Because they basically slow, like at the first, you're like, what is going on in this situation? And then they start talking about like the donations and all this stuff. I'm like, oh, this is, so I don't think at the point where I'm at, you're really supposed to know what's going on, but like because, like, it's basically, like, everybody, a lot, like, I looked on Goodreads, like, I have, like, 8 friends that have read this book. I guess it's a real popular book. And yeah, Kazuo Ishiguro.
Okay.
And that's, he also wrote Remains of the Day.
Oh, okay.
It's another big, very popular author.
Nice.
But it's really good so far, and I'm curious to where it goes, because, again, it's about a plate, like, it's, they're clones of people that they're basically raised to harvest their organs.
So weird. As
the people, like, need them.
Ugh.
Can you imagine having, like, a clone Phil?
No, that's creepy on so many levels.
And he's living, like,
more
when
than
he,
being
and then
clone?
When it's like, hey, clone Phil. And they, but, and I can't tell yet, I think they're aware, but not, like, fully aware.
Yeah.
Like, at some point they're gonna die.
Yeah.
Because they have to give them, like, their heart or something.
That's the.
So as you get older, you're giving more and more things. Because like at first, it's probably like, oh, this guy needs a kidney.
Right.
Like, oh, and then some of them live probably way longer than others because you might not.
Like, don't need anything.
Well, eventually at some point, like, eventually they probably, because like this is a world where they can clone people. And then like, are there multiple clones? Like,
yeah.
And, like, I guess it's probably however rich. For
yeah,
super rich people.
To have.
It's probably like super rich people, but can you imagine having like a clone Phil and it's like, hey clone Phil, I need your kidney now. I need your eye.
Ugh,
I need
like,
your
did it talk to him?
I don't think so. I don't know. That's weird, right?
Yeah. I mean it's awesome. It's a really cool concept, but
clone
also
Phil.
Like really.
But can you imagine this island where like clones are living?
No.
And you harvest their organs.
So weird.
And then that gets into a lot of different moral quandaries.
Yeah. Because a clone,
but
it's still a person.
Yeah, and like it's told from the perspective of this clone, and like you're like that's a person. They're self-aware.
Yeah.
Of,
well, I
like,
mean, because when it comes right down to it, a clone is just it's just manipulating the genetics. It's no different than a just normal child.
I don't know. It's crazy.
Ugh. All right. Well,
hey, clone Brendo, I need you.
Hey. What can they like? Could it, how would a clone help you like lose weight? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I'm going to put my fat into my clothes.
Take my fat.
Take my fat.
Fat takers. That's going to be my sci-fi.
Fat takers.
Fat takers. In the future, people are cloned to take fat from their...
But why would you, if you could take fat out, why would you put it into another person?
I don't know, something about, you might need it for later to survive.
Oh yeah, like cause that. You might need it at a later time.
Yeah.
When, cause when the apocalypse comes, you want to be super fat.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Then you can just live off your fat.
Yeah.
So it's like a fat storage, and fat can only live in another person.
Yeah, you can't just keep it in a jar.
Can't just keep it somewhere.
Yeah.
So it's like here, and you hook up the machine, the guy gets fatter.
The fat takers. I'm telling you, I'm gonna be like a sci-fi novelist now.
And then
the fat takers.
Because you're paying a guy. And then, like, I'm a fat taker.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't know, I need money.
Yes. Oh, yes. You volunteer. You have to, like, be a volunteer fat taker.
Fat taker. Then you're like, oh, being fat sucks, but I need the money.
And you're, like, not allowed to exercise.
Yeah, because that would then you'd lose the fat. The fat.
It's
and then
like
watch, and then you gotta produce more. You get a bonus if you produce more fat. So it's like, oh, I need $100. I gotta eat this ice cream.
Eat butter.
And they give you, you live on a fat farm. And they give you food.
Oh, I think we're onto something here. Fat takers.
And they're just, you're just like, oh, I really hate this, but I'm like, I got to pay my student loans.
Yeah.
So I got to eat this extra ice cream. Eat this stick of butter. You know, the stick of butter is $50.
Yeah, but you can get $100 for gaining that extra weight.
Yeah.
And then you try not to, like, move. Like, they would just all have, like, beds.
Well, it's like Wall-E.
Yeah, like Wall-E, that kind of thing.
So you're kind of just floating around in a little pod.
You don't want to burn any extra calories.
But they also have, like, super life support because they got to keep you alive. So you're, like, right on – because, like, they want to get you as big as possible.
Yeah. But you're a fat taker and you have to have a job still because it doesn't pay enough. So it's, like, hard to keep your fat on.
You're like, and then people treat you because you're like, oh, you're one of those fat takers.
But you're not a very good one. They can tell you're not a good fat taker because you're not fat enough.
Because, like, you've been skinny your whole life, so your metabolism is just, it's not cooperating, man.
And
so, like, you're like, so you have to eat all the time, like, even, so you're, like, at your desk, and you're still, like, just, you got, like, a bucket of chicken.
And so, like, there's like, these weird classes in society, because you've got the skinny people who are, like, wealthy, but then you also have, like, the really super fat
takers
who are,
really
like,
good.
Highly regarded.
Yeah, because they're, like, because they can just keep put on the weight and keep it on. But then you have the forced fat takers.
Yeah. The volunteer fat takers.
And they have, like, really high metabolism, so they're always, like, they can't keep weight.
Yeah.
So, but like, you need the money, so you're just, like, eating constantly. You're, like, crying. You're like, oh, God. It's right before weighing. I gotta get an extra 5 pounds. I don't know how to do it.
All right, Hollywood, this is our pitch. If anyone out there is listening,
fat takers.
Please pay us to write the fat takers.
I think that's a good idea.
I think it's a good idea. It'll be a good sci-fi movie.
Fat. Because what was that, like, time movie? It'd be like
Yeah, well, they had to pay with everything in time. Like,
but this is like the fat.
Yeah.
If you're a fat farmer. Fat farmers.
Fat farmer. Yeah. You live on a fat farm.
My gosh, could you imagine getting paid to eat food?
Yeah, but like if you were miserable with it, though, you had to just constantly be eating.
I'd be one of the good fats. In real life.
You'd be, like, part of that, like, higher...
In real life, I'd be at the upper hierarchy.
But it's like the caste system where, like, they're at the height of that, but they're still below, like,
the
wealthy, skinny people.
Yeah.
But they're, like, you know, highly regarded still.
In the fat world.
In the fat world.
Because the skinny people need those people.
Right. So they take good care of them and stuff, because that's where their fat's coming from.
This is my fat taker. I keep good care of him. Good boy.
Yeah. They'd send him gifts of, like, chocolate chip cookies and... Butter sticks. Cream cheese blocks.
But you'd like be living in a mansion, too, because they're like, fine.
Yeah, and they don't want you to have to move, so like they got lots of entertainment set up for you.
Yeah, my fat pod, my super deluxe fat pod.
Video games would all be brain control, because you wouldn't want to have to like move around.
Yeah, no Wii Fit for you.
No.
Don't even want you to move. Then you're like a cow.
Yep.
And like those factories... Cause then it could be like this whole other level where it's like an animal farm type thing. So it's like now you are the animal. And then like, cause the other guys, those are the free range guys, the guys that can't afford to be on that level. They're not at the level, but they're like, they're not, the free range is bad.
Yeah. And they get harvested, they harvest from them sooner.
Yeah. So like, he's not worth it. Let's get all the fat out. But then, like, and then you're like, no, I need more money. Like, you can't, no, so no then use.
You'd have, like, the lowest level of society is the fats that have been harvested from that are walking around with, like, just loose skin. Loose.
And they can't.
They can't get work.
And they can't, they try to eat, but, like, it's already been sucked out. Once it's all sucked out, like, it's done. They
can't gain the weight back.
Man.
I mean, we just built a whole society.
Fat takers. So that's the title of this episode.
That's what we just figured out what it's going to be.
All right, what's Gee?
I read the most recent issue of the Game Informer magazine.
Oh, I thought it was Gee.
No, okay. So I mentioned
Come on, read a freaking book.
I'm reading the book too, but I just wanted to point out that I still read magazines. Those are the two, though. That's it. That's all that's left.
You read Game Informer
and Mad Magazine. That's the last two
magazines. How is Game Informer? I guess because
of GameStop.
GameStop. That's
the only reason it still exists. And even still, when you go to GameStop, February, I re-upped it, and I go in there, and they're like, oh, would you like to, it's free to get the digital now, and I'm like, nah, I like the physical. Are you sure? I'm like, nah.
They're like, why? No, don't make us make this magazine. No, stop
it. I'm like, yeah, I still like the physical magazine. I think I'm one of the last, like, two or three holdouts.
What if they paid you?
Like, no, just here, please, take this money. We don't want to make the magazine. But then they give those away to, like, bribe people in the store. That's the only reason they make it still. Is to have something to give people, you know.
You're like that one person where you're like, yes, I want this extra physical magazine.
But see, magazine reading in the bathroom is like, I used to have 50 magazines in the bathroom and that's what I would read. But
I read books.
I do too now, but when my
new issues, I guess because magazines like the perfect amount.
Yeah, you got like a quick article, look at some captions, and then you're done. And then I don't feel like I have to get the end of a whole chapter or something, you know. But anyway.
I have literally fallen off the toilet because my legs fell asleep because I read too much.
I have also fallen asleep on the toilet on multiple occasions, also from reading too long. So yeah, it's, you know, I don't know what that says. fat takers. but I read some more of Harry Potter and the
Prisoner of Azkaban. Are they at Hogwarts yet?
They're at Hogwarts. They met the Dementors.
Dementors! Ah!
They're at Hogwarts. Hagrid is the new professor, is one of the new, he's teaching a class.
Care of magical creatures.
And, I'm not super far. I'm still, though, like, okay, I'm about, like, 120 pages in or something like that.
Yeah.
And still, every, like, couple of pages, it's like, oh, Hagrid is the guy who was taking care of this. And he lives in the hut out in the back. And Malfoy is a bad guy. Like, still 100 pages in. Okay. I've read the books.
It's still great.
It is. It's still great. But it is a little funny anomaly in publishing world.
I'm very excited in the Harry Potter universe. One, there's been two major developments. I guess
a
few.
I saw some of this.
The big one was a couple weeks ago. They're going to actually publish. Because first, like, I don't understand how people could. Because they're very clear. Like, it's a script. And J.K. Rowling gave the story, but it's written by like actual like playwrights,
right?
But they're publishing it as a book, so it's basically like another Harry Potter book. But it's the script; it's not a book; it's a script. I'm still stoked. It's the cursed child. I guess since you haven't read, you won't
know that far.
Harry Potter. This takes place like far in the future. Okay. Harry Potter as a kid.
Okay,
so now you know he survives.
No, it doesn't matter. Well, I kind of figured as much. And then there's also the
movies. But there are also the movies, so it's Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, and she just said it's going to be a trilogy.
Because of course it is. Because
Warner Brothers is like, we need to hedge our bets if this Batman Justice League thing, if this DC stuff does not work out, we need this Harry Potter thing in our back pocket.
And I would be willing to take a little extra wager that third movie winds up being part one and part two. I'm just going to go on record right now.
I have a feeling. That's exciting. And then, so that was pretty stoked on that stuff and that book. And I forgot what else I was going to say. Oh, well, Harry Potter World is opening next month.
Yeah.
So, but they still don't. They're not going to have the Hogwarts Express and the Gringotts, which is probably going to come in quite a few years.
Right.
Probably like in a few years from now, because the Hogwarts Express, so you now that you've read, you know the part where the Dementor is going, that happens on the Hogwarts Express.
That's cool.
Like, yeah.
They're creepy.
Ugh.
So now, oh, speaking of amusement park stuff, they've also been...
One more Harry Potter thing. Okay. That's what I forgot. This week on Pottermore, J.K. Rowling is debuting. She wrote a series of essays about, because the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them takes place in America. Now she's doing a whole, cause she's writing, she's been writing new stuff on Pottermore for a while now, but she's writing a whole series on the wizarding in North America, like the history of wizarding, which is very exciting because like, this is like new canonical stuff. Cause it's not really mentioned in the books, like about witches in North America at all.
Well, okay, no.
Just a little bit.
There was some mention of like the Salem witches at some point, like just kind of an offhand
thing. Just a little offhand thing. Yeah. So like it's really cool to get more material written by J.K. Rowling. That's happening this week on Pottermore.com. Very exciting. You were talking about
Nintendo
Japan. Yeah. It's happening in Japan, but it's, as Mark Ariano, we've been speculating and got a little stuff. People know things.
Yeah.
But it's probably going to go Japan, Florida, L.A.
Yeah.
And it's pretty given it's going to be... Mario Kart is like the first thing.
For sure.
And then, but they also said there's going to be multiple things from
gotta
the start.
Gotta be a Zelda one, right?
Yeah.
Like Luke's whole entire dream is set upon going to
a Zelda
ride.
What a great time to be alive. Like,
seriously.
Stuff we could only dream of.
On a daily basis, he asked me, when is Nintendo Land going to be real? And I'm like, it's going to be a while. When are you going to get through to Nintendo Land? It's going to be a while. Sorry.
But at some point.
But it's coming. It's real. I mean, as real as it can be.
In his childhood.
Yeah.
Might be his later childhood.
Might be. Because I don't know that we're flying to Japan just to go to Nintendo Land. Although, I'm not saying I wouldn't want to.
Would you go to Florida?
Definitely that. I mean, not that I wouldn't want to go to in Japan. I'm just saying that's an expensive trip just to go on a Mario Kart ride.
Well, you could also go to
Tokyo
Disney.
Sea.
And their whole Universal Park. I mean, they still have... some stuff that's gone from
still
have they
have
E.T.
Right?
And Jaws.
Ah.
Wait, no, I think their Jaws was gone too.
Oh.
But they do have E.T.
I would like to go on E.T. again. And well, E.T.'s in Florida still too.
I think, no.
Yeah, my family just went on it.
Oh.
Which is crazy.
Well, there you go. But and then you also got like all the Nintendo stuff in Japan. You got Akihabara. And if I would go with you, and then I'd go to, like, Japanese wrestling.
There you go.
So there's lots of stuff in Japan.
There is.
Disney Sea, man. And that's, like...
That's right there.
And just Tokyo Disneyland.
Yeah.
Because they do have... The main street is indoors. So it's got, like, a enclosed...
Yeah. See? It can happen. I'm telling you. Underground Disney.
Underground Disney.
Disney Underground. All right. What do we got next here?
All right. New movies. No new movies?
No new movies.
Needing to see Zootopia yet?
No, I think we'll probably see that, like, on our trip.
Heard super good people saying it's amazing.
Yeah. Definitely going to see it, but I'm figuring on our trip will be a good time, you know. Because it's fun to go to the movies on vacation in, like, a theater you don't know, you know.
I'm watching some WWE Network. I was watching some Monday Nitro. Saw the return of Macho Man. It's kind of sad, seemed like, because he was so good.
Yeah.
But Macho Man, Sting... So the first time Sting came down from the rafters, and now watching it now, it's like because like Owen Hart died doing that, and also like it's just but he seriously like just rappelled down from the thing. It's pretty crazy. New Japan World, there was the New Japan Cup is going on, and I am proud to say I am tied. I am at the highest I've ever been in a Voices of Wrestling pick'em right now,
really?
And if things go my way, I could finish in the top three.
Whoa.
If my, cause we're at the semifinals now, and if all my picks hit, which is a very high, I'm feeling really good, I could finish in like third place. I might actually get a prize.
What do you get if you get third place?
You get like credit on this like wrestling videos website.
Huh.
Be very excited.
What's first place?
You get like $50 and like some other stuff. I think you get like, there's like a wrestling loot crate, and you get that. But I don't think I can get first place.
Right.
But if I get all my picks, I can get third place. And if I get the tiebreaker, which is picking how long the match is,
okay,
I could get like second place.
Ooh.
If I hit all my picks.
If you hit them all.
It's very exciting, but that's not until, what's the 12th? Saturday?
Yes.
That's the semifinals and finals are on the same day. But there's been some really exciting matches. Lots of new developments in New Japan. Very exciting. There's also a Young Lions show that they did with, like, young guys. And, like, some of their new guys look really good. So it's very exciting. And it's cool that they're doing that, totally copying NXT. But, hey, whatever works. Lucha Underground.
Can we see you this week?
Again, this, well, because I was still where I was right up at the entrances. Right. So, like, Phoenix, and I'm like, there was the Cobra Moon. That was the one where you could really... Because, like, I'm right there at the top of the ramp.
So funny.
And I didn't do any still. I still want somebody, because I don't know how to do the animated GIFs. I would love for somebody to make
a GIF
animated Friendo.
Now we're coming up to the ones that you weren't in?
Yeah, after this week. After this week, there's going to be two episodes where it's Benson and I on the floor.
Oh, okay.
And you will see us because couple of the matches get into the crowd.
Nice.
And then there's four episodes that I'm not on.
Okay.
And then
you're back in it.
I'm back on and I'm on the floor for like the whole rest of the season.
Nice.
And I, like, there's a couple times where like I'm right there in the action. We'll see what happens when they cut these things up. Who knows? But, you'll definitely be able to see me. I'm a little disappointed. It seems they haven't officially announced like tickets yet, but the first set of tapings are like the weekend of WonderCon.
Ah.
It seems like. Because Brian Cage gave out the exact dates and it was like the weekend of WonderCon. I'm like, ugh.
That's a bummer.
So I'm gonna have to miss out on those. Although maybe no, I don't know. I could go on the Sunday.
You could go on the Sunday.
And I could still go to part of WonderCon.
Yeah.
No, I would go to part of WonderCon, then go to the thing. I guess. No, because you gotta get there early. I wouldn't want to risk, like, missing out on Lucha Underground, and then I'd just be stressed out. So, like, I don't know. I might just, maybe I'd not go to WonderCon on Sunday, but I kinda wanna go to WonderCon on Sunday.
It's the great,
I don't great know. There. Maybe I'll just miss out on the first set of tapings. I don't know. Let's see. Agent Carter season finale. Awesome.
We're going to have to just fork over the dough for it.
I forgot to mention, new cast member this year also, Mr. Ken Marino.
Oh, really?
He's like a gangster type guy.
Nice.
Freaking awesome.
Oh, dude.
Show is so good. And this finale was great. Ended great. Loved it. And total cliffhanger ending. And they just announced it got picked up for season 3. And... Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. got picked up for season 4.
Nice. When is the new Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. coming?
I think it's like next week.
Oh my gosh, I'm dying here.
Well, you missed out on Agent Carter.
Well, we're going to have to fork over the dough because I want to watch
it. So good. American Crime Story, we're now in the trial. Like, it's pretty nuts. It did get in where I was like, this really is it? Because like, sometimes I'll watch it and I'm like, did that really happen? So I'll look and like... Getting into Wikipedias of the OJ trial is like a bad idea because like I fell into like an hour and a half black hole this morning because then there is some other interesting possible theories. So I started reading about those. Although again, I feel like if this trial had happened now with the blood evidence, I think part of it was because it was so new that the defense was able to like cast doubt on it. But now with DNA, like it seems pretty open and shut.
Right.
I mean, there is the whole police planted, but even that, it would have been a conspiracy of just mass proportion with the sheer amount of physical evidence that OJ did it. Like, it's crazy. And then the glove thing and the way that, like, because the thing with the glove that, like, it didn't fit, so you must have quit. One, that was Johnny Cochran. It's funny. So Christopher, I read an interview with the Darden, the prosecutor guy. Uh-huh. He is 100% convinced, and it seems possible because they had access to it, that Cochran did something to the glove, which is highly possible.
Sure.
We'll never know though because he's dead. But then also just time to leather and then the blood, just the very blood in the leather. And then OJ was on like, he had like arthritis. And because he wasn't on his medication, his hands would have been swollen. There's so many different reasons why they never should have even done that.
The Cinderella defense.
Like, it's freaking insane. Like, it doesn't even make sense. And then also just reading, like, about the evidence that the prosecution didn't use. Like, for instance, the jury didn't know about, I mean, they didn't present it to the jury. And I think I don't know. I don't know how you wouldn't have known this, but they didn't present the whole, like, chase. Like, because the very act that he fled like that seems to me like...
Yeah.
And then the fact that not only was he fleeing from the cops, but he was planning on escaping the country because he had a passport and a disguise with him. Also, the suicide notes. Like, that doesn't... Those do not sound like the actions of an innocent... And the prosecution, for whatever reason, chose not to present that. That, to me, seems insane. Well, and the Mark Furman thing is very unfortunate. Because it just happened to be that the guy that found the glove was also a horrible racist.
Yeah, and that doesn't
and help. Perjured himself in court.
Yeah, which doesn't help.
Which, so again, but it's crazy. Like, that whole crazy. And then there is, and then the show reminded me of this, there is a connection to Dominique Dunn from Poltergeist, because her dad, Dominic Dunn, he sat with the Goldmans and wrote about the trial.
Huh.
Because, you know, that whole thing where, like, Dominique Dunn is part of the Poltergeist curse.
Right.
Her boyfriend basically strangled her to death in her driveway, and then somehow he managed to only get 6 years in prison on manslaughter.
Huh.
And so her dad became this crusader. And, like, that's why he was covering. So he's played in the movie by the guy that plays Bert Cooper in Mad Men. He's a really good actor. But that was kind of interesting. And I'd forgotten all about that whole thing. And then I started reading some of Dominic Dunn's, like, articles that he had written before. Because he died a few years ago.
Okay.
But because he was old. But, like, and then got into that whole thing. And then get into the Poltergeist curse, which you are tied to.
Yep.
Because, sorry, what's her name?
I always forget it when you put me on the spot. So, the girl, the main girl, dang it, what is her name? We'll look it up. She went to my school when I was in elementary school, and she was like 2 years older than me. She was actually really good friends with my best friend's older sister.
Heather O'Rourke,
yeah. And so, she was really good friends with my best friend's older sister, who was like two or three years older than me. So, I mean, like, saw her around the playground sometimes. You know, they ate lunch together, and so sometimes I go, but I didn't know her well. And I mean, I knew her like you would know your brother, your best friend's older sister's friend.
Yeah.
Like, you know, bumped into her some, but, you know, wasn't like friends with her, but enough that, like,
and she's from Big Bear, a small town,
you know, yeah,
small town. And then, like, so when she died, like, that must have been a pretty big
deal. Yeah, well, especially again, because my best friend's older sister was a good friend with her and stuff, so it was.
But yeah, so it's just crazy. Again, you get on these things and how it all ties into things.
Yeah.
And then you get in. But then also, so reading the, because I'm like, what did the, because they haven't gotten this part in the book and I kind of forgot. Like, what did the defense say and, like, who could have done this? And they think it's like a whole Colombian drug thing and that they were executed. And their basis is that Nicole's friend who wrote the book, I forgot her name. Anyways, that she was living with Nicole up until just a few days before she died. They had put her in rehab, and that these Colombian drug lords came to kill her. I'm like, because she didn't pay for her drugs. I'm like, you know who says those kind of things? People that have no idea how drugs work. Because when you don't pay your drug dealer for your cocaine, the Colombian drug cartel does not come to murder you. That's not how it works. And then they had this whole thing that Nicole was trying to, that was gonna sell drugs, and, like, she got involved in drug dealing. There's no evidence to any of this, and their whole thing revolves around the fact that another waiter at the Mezzaluna restaurant that Goldman worked at was probably a drug dealer, and then a year later got murdered, like, execution style. So there is this whole thing, but, like, it doesn't make any sense to anybody that actually, like, again, if you don't pay for your cocaine, again, hitmen don't come to kill you. That's not how it works. If that happened, like, drug dealers, first of all, that's a really great way to draw the attention of the police.
Right.
And second, like, that's not how you build up a customer of drug addicts, by murdering them when they don't, that's not how it works.
That's why it works in the movies.
Only in the movies. And I think Johnny Cochran just was basing it off, because that's crazy. And again, all the blood evidence, all the other physical evidence. But they're also, this is weird, reading an article, like a current article, where, like, they did this huge giant poll. And again, the race thing is still there, because 75% of white people think that OJ, that they interviewed him, think OJ is guilty. Like, it was like 25% of black people. I don't know what to say about that.
I don't know.
Am I racist because I think that the evidence points to OJ being guilty?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
It's a tricky thing.
It's tricky.
Anyways.
All right, what else you got here?
So, Bob, oh wait, where am I at? American Crime, 11-22-63, just watched a new episode, holy crap, it's amazing,
yeah,
really good. Bob's Burgers,
yeah, this
couch episode featuring,
oh my gosh,
Keegan-Michael Key, Wanda Sykes, Key and Peele, holy crap, and also just the full, your couch attachment.
This is my story. Like, I swear they wrote this about me, because I'm Linda in the story, and Janelle is the Bob.
But then I ended up with your couch instead of...
Well, yeah, you were like the Teddy out there, except instead
except
of...
Except I kept
you
it.
You kept it out
but
there.
But the couch, what were they, the couch burners?
The and then their song was, if you love something, set it on fire, but safety comes first, something like that. Oh my gosh. It seriously was one of my favorite episodes this season.
It was like, so good.
So, so good. And the song was great.
The song was great. And then also, just like right off the bat, they did these flashbacks to young Tina, yeah, young like baby Jean, and baby
couch.
Louise, and it was just the most adorable. Like, I want the
Muppet babies.
I want,
Bob's Burgers babies.
I want Belcher babies.
Belcher babies, there you go.
Cause like little Tina like chomping on the carpet and little Louise in her Ford and like little Jean throwing up and like I was like, oh, those babies. Oh.
Oh,
so good.
It was such a good episode. I have to confess, I watched it twice in a row. Like I did it and put it right back on again.
Goldberg's Dirty Dancing Footloose mashup was
fantastic.
Dirty Dancing versus Footloose
versus
and like Barry doing like all the dancing, the whole like where he recreated the gym scene in Footloose and he's like doing all the
dancing. Then the guy, I can't remember what his name, the one that like has a crush on the and he like got to dance with her and it was awesome.
It's so great.
I want them to wind up together.
I think we're headed in that direction, maybe.
It's cool. He's like,
but she still is like, you're totally.
Yeah, but it was cool. And he actually was a good dancer.
I'm gonna Swayze. I'm gonna
Swayze. It was so good.
Season finale of the Muppets. Double episode. Last episode had Jack White. For the second to last episode, Willie Nelson. They all sang On the Road Again.
Nice.
And then, but with Jack White, oh my gosh. Seeing them, like, Jack White and Dr. Teeth in Electric Mayhem, Willie Nelson with Dr. Teeth, holy crap, dude. Some stellar musical numbers and also just really great episodes.
Good.
Fan-freaking-tastic. I hope they get to do more. It seemed like a very strong, people seem to be getting into the vibe of it. Vinyl has been incredible. We now have John Cameron Mitchell, played Hedwig and Hedwig the Angry Inch, and he is Andy Warhol.
Nice.
Freaking awesome. They had an episode where they flash back because he met his wife at a freaking at a Velvet Underground and Nico. So they have Velvet Underground and Nico, and it feels like I'm like, this is what it would have been like. And like they're in the factory and Andy Warhol, like, and like it's freaking awesome.
So
and then
cool.
This week, so he has this whole thing where he like basically they refuse to sell to PolyGram and they're gonna start their label with all these new acts because basically he has this revelation. He goes to a New York Dolls show like when the Mercer collapses and now he's like, I gotta get a new sound. I'm gonna start fresh, start a new. So he cuts off like 75% of the bands. They let them all go. And now he's trying to find new acts. So when he sends his A&R team. He's like, you have 2 weeks. To come up with bands or you're all fired. And like, so they're freaking out. So one of them, he's like, I'm going to get Alice Cooper as like a solo act. So I guess I didn't look. I don't know who this guy that got to play Alice Cooper is like a freaking amazing. And then like this whole thing with him and Alice Cooper, it's awesome. More Andy. Oh dude, it's like you're there, man. And like, it's just, I love it.
That's awesome.
Love it. And the music is amazing. Pretty Little Liars is freaking crazy. SNL this week, everybody's talking about that Trump thing. I thought it was a pretty good episode. Jonah Hill, there was some good moments.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
I watched the Trump
thing,
obviously.
There was some
thing,
funny
obviously.
Stuff. It seems like some of their sketches, there was a little bit of a high number of those sketches where it's like they didn't know where they were going with it, and then they kind of just end weird. There's a couple of those.
Okay.
But it was good. No Leslie Jones, like, at all this week.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a shame.
I think... I think Leslie Jones has been, I don't know, the Ghostbusters trailer dropped.
Yeah.
And people are going crazy.
Not always for the right reason.
Well, Leslie Jones has been flipping out on a regular basis on Twitter because apparently people are upset because the white girls are scientists, but she's not.
But if you look at the original one, it follows the exact same pattern. It's a remake.
And then people are like, well, haven't we progressed since? But then her whole thing is like, first she got pissed. She's like, you guys, if I was a scientist, you guys would get mad that I'm the wrong kind of scientist. You guys are just, and then she's like, why can't I be a normal person? What, normal people can't be heroes?
Right.
Like her tweets is basically her telling everybody like, F off. I made this movie. I'm in a movie. Go see. It's a movie. Well, you guys are getting all upset about a movie.
Like, and it looks like it's going to be like Winston in the original one is like he's the level-headed one of them all. They're all like these wacky big characters. And I get the feeling that she's kind of that same thing. Like,
well, but regardless, I'm super excited.
Who cares?
Like, well, again, people are going to hate on this movie. Like Derek is just set in stone that he's not going to like this movie.
I don't understand. It looks great. The effects are cool. It was funny.
Well, it was funny seeing Lynch and some other people take Derek to task because he's like going off that there's like wacky stuff. And it's like, dude, Egon drilled a hole in his head. Like these people are like the fact like again, like Derek's just hating to hate
because it looked to me it felt like a Ghostbusters.
We're hitting
movie.
Our time here. Crap.
We are. All right.
Well, just real quick, Last Man on Earth.
Oh my gosh! Amazing.
Ah!
Spoilers, I guess, if you're not up to date.
Jason Sudeikis!
It's a whole episode of Jason Sudeikis. It's incredible. It's,
the fact this show, every episode...
It's a completely different show.
Like, what the crap is happening?
He crash-landed on a cruise ship.
Oh.
And then he's, like, riding a little...
I wanted to see
him...
I guess, like, money... But I want to see, like, going through the cruise ship and, like, all that other stuff.
Yeah.
But I guess, like, crashed and the cruise ship was about to sink, so we had to get off the cruise ship. But, like, abandoned cruise ship.
Oh, my gosh.
And then, like, he gets to this other boat and then meets another crazy guy. And he's, like, terrified of the virus.
And the guy says, I'm the last man on Earth.
Yeah. Oh.
So, so good. Also, like...
Kid Phil, played by Oscar nominee Jacob Tremblay, was amazing.
Yeah. And he had a down pat.
So funny.
But it also was like a little, I mean, not some of them have been, but a little darker. Like you actually see the virus victims.
Bodies.
Like the bodies.
He's like, you
want to
see
that.
Bodies, I'll show you bodies.
Like, yeah, a little more intense.
Yeah.
But oh my gosh, I love that show so much.
So good. All right. What do you got?
Well, Grindr's amazing. You Mean the Apocalypse is actually, it's really interesting. I recommend it. I think it's weird. It's hard to pin down, but I really, like this week's episode was kind of nuts. You find out some relationships you weren't aware that were there, and it's really cool.
Cool.
I also watched this show called Superstore.
What's that?
Which I think it's Greg Daniels from The Office. I'm pretty sure it's his show. It's somebody who was one of the producers in The Office. But anyway, it follows these people that are employees at like it's basically like a Walmart, but it's called Cloud9 in the show. And, it's really good. It's got, oh my gosh, from Kids in the Hall. I can't think of his
name. Kevin McDonald,
not Dave Foley.
The other guy?
It's the other guy. Yeah. Gosh dang it. Well, anyway, I'm not going to keep us held up on that, but it's pretty funny. It's definitely like, it's very much like The Office. So you can, if you look at it and think of The Office, there's like characters remixed in there. Like you can say, oh, this guy's the Dwight, this one's the that. But it's good, it's funny, you know, it's worth watching. And, Bob's Burgers, Last Man on Earth, awesome. We finished Jessica Jones on Netflix.
Awesome.
Really good.
Holy crap.
It was the great ending. The nurse girl, what's her name? I don't know if it was Rosario Dawson, what's the night nurse?
Yeah.
That was really cool. Like it's all connected now.
She's going to be in a Luke Cage show.
Yeah, it's awesome. And, Kilgrave was such an awesome, like, bad guy, like, final battle, like, it was amazing. We watched Fuller House. We just watched the first episode.
Yeah, I thought you don't even like Fuller House.
I don't, but Janelle loves it, and the kids have been, like, heard about it at school, I guess, and they wanted to see it, so.
It's pretty goofy.
It's exactly, I mean, I've seen a few episodes of Full House. It's exactly Full House. It's super cheesy, like, old-fashioned sitcom, like, bad laugh tracks, and. I laughed a couple times. There's a couple chuckles in there. But
I like their energy. They just seem all so stoked. And the kids.
You can tell. They're all just like, yes.
The kids are really. I think the kids are really fun. The youngest kid, Mac, like, he's hilarious. Yeah,
it's, I mean, If you are a fan of the original Flaws, I can see it being exactly what you would want. And yeah. It's just, I never was, so it doesn't really do it for me. But the kids liked it, and Janelle thought it was fun, so.
Yeah. Did you watch just the first one?
We just watched the first one.
Because the first one is like straight up nostalgia.
Yeah.
And then it goes into the normal show.
To the next, yeah. It's totally
like,
all set up.
Because then, like, because the rest of the, like, the adults, like, they only sporadically show up.
Yeah, they're all off in other places now, so. But, you know, it was fine. They did a great job of making a Full House show.
Yeah.
If that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, so again, like, it's weird that people are freaking out so much.
I can see people being like, oh, I don't like Full House. That's
but, like,
fine.
The way people are destroying this.
They ruined Full House.
And also, Hayner made a funny comment today because people are like, this is the end of nostalgia. This needs to stop. And then everybody lost their freaking minds today when the DuckTales. Some DuckTales stuff dropped.
Awesome.
It does, but the same people that were like, nostalgia's ruining culture, blah. And then like, see, don't you get it? When it's something that you're into, of course, it's amazing.
Yeah.
So you need to shut up, everybody.
Yeah, because.
You need to shut up.
I want new DuckTales.
Because like, so many people though, that were like making these huge articles about like the nostalgia's ruining entertainment, and then they're just losing their minds about DuckTales.
They all need to just.
Everybody just needs to chill.
It's fun.
Out.
You
it's
know what?
Fun.
If you don't like it, don't watch
don't
it.
Don't watch it.
Go back and watch the old shows. They're still there.
I missed the part where you have to watch it and where someone's holding a gun to your head.
No one's making you. Go back and watch DuckTales. It's on DVD.
People are crazy.
All right. Phineas and Ferb is great, too.
All right. Well,
we
don't have time for Nintendo Power, but I did want to talk about one thing.
Okay.
Real quick, before we get to Marmaduke.
Okay.
Stardew Valley.
Okay.
Holy crap. So it's basically like this guy, one guy... He made a Steam game. He's been developing it for the last, like, 3 years.
Okay.
And apparently it's like Harvest Moon N64, but I've never played a Harvest Moon game.
I haven't either.
I know I've always, like, wanted to get into them, but I even got one, like, on my PS3, like, from the PSN network.
Right.
And I started playing, but I'm like, oh, this seems like a lot of thing. But, like, so, but, like, everybody was, like, raving. Actually, Louis Clark, listener... I think he still listens.
Yeah, I think so.
He's Quinn's friend.
Yeah, yeah.
He's been, like, just raving about it. Everybody, I was reading all these things. Felicia Day tweeted about it, so I'm like... And then, because somebody's like, do you like Animal Crossing? Do you like this? I was like, yes, I do. And so imagine Animal Crossing on PC, but there's also... But there's, like, so many different things. There's farming, fishing. The fishing is actually, like... At first, like, I thought fishing was impossible, but you have to, like, work your way up, and it's not just, like, a button masher.
Huh.
There's a lot of skill to it, and once I figured it out, it was a lot of fun, and there's, like, there's a freaking, you go in the mine, and it's like a dungeon crawler, and, like, and you, like, have monsters, and level, and, like, you level, it's like a freaking, and then there's, like, so there's farming, and then there's, like, you take your products, and you can do different things. There's foraging, there's harvesting, there's like everything. It's like decorating your house. There's building. It's like Animal Crossing on steroids, and it's for the PC, and it's amazing.
That's
and it's
awesome.
$15, and the guy is like actively like making new stuff for it all the time. He still hasn't even put multiplayer in. There's gonna be multiplayer.
Huh.
It's like being on the ground floor of Minecraft, and it's like as you're watching it, and I think it's gonna be this huge crazy thing. And already, like it's just, oh, it's so amazing. I've already played like 20 hours.
Wow.
Like That's I bought awesome. It on like Tuesday.
That's awesome.
It's so much. I mean, like, I haven't written notes for a game, but I have, like, my notes, like, what do I need to get a barn and all this stuff, and, like, fish, because, like, the fishing, it's like Animal Crossing, like, certain seasons.
Right.
Luckily, it's not real time, like, you go to bed and it's the next day,
right.
But there's a day-night cycle, you have an energy meter, so once you run out of energy, you can't do anything else. So like you have to budget what you're gonna do, and you only have like 28 days in a season, and then once the season's over, then you gotta wait for a whole year, and so like I gotta get the fish while they're still there, and the crops, at the end of every season, your crops all die, so you gotta start over, and like planning that out, and then like winter, like real winter, you can't grow anything, and like that's when I'm gonna really go into the mines, and I'm already on, I can hit level 40 on the mines, and there's like quests, and there's little tasks. It's like, it's like PC version Animal Crossing is on steroids and it's amazing and I love it. Okay.
And with that, you know what time it is.
It's time. It's Marmaduke time.
All right. We've been in a pretty dark zone here.
Let's see.
Oh, it's a Halloween. We got a Halloween strip here. Let's see where we're at.
I feel like we're going to lighten it up a little bit.
I think we might. It looks, let's check
it's
it out.
Pretty silly.
So Marmaduke's dressed up like a person. So we already got Marmaduke as people, first of all. He's dressed up like a guy with a hat and stuff. And
oh, because he's trying to trick-or-treat?
Yeah, he's trick-or-treating. He's got a bag, so he's going trick-or-treating. He's going out with the two kids, and we got ding-dong, trick-or-treat. And then the guy comes out, no tricks, please, treats for the kiddies, and a big, juicy hot dog for Marmaduke. Well, he's got a bone in his bag there, too, so he's getting that stuff. Ha ha ho ho ho, the guy's laughing. And his wife is like, what's so funny? I gave Marmaduke a plastic hot dog.
People are torturing Marmaduke.
And then we hear ding dong, knock, knock, knock. And then Marmaduke's back and he's mad. Now what? And then he like blows a raspberry at him and like spits all over his face. And it like blows his gums back so you can see his skull a little bit here. What? And then Marmaduke walks back away and the kid says, you just won the trick.
So it is still kind of Marmaduke, but now Marmaduke's taking some revenge.
Yeah, it's Marmaduke's revenge. And he's still dressed as Marmaduke as people, because he's trick-or-treating with them.
But knowing what I know now about Marmaduke, because normally I feel like without our previous episode, I probably would have been like, this is pretty dumb.
Now you know.
But now, like, once again, Marmaduke is, like, suffering.
He's starting to snap. They gave him this fake, cause that's not just a regular, I mean, this is like a madman, this looks like Spy versus Spy almost. The guy's face is being blown back, his teeth are like coming out.
Yeah, but you think of all the torture that Marmaduke is there, he's exercising he's demons. Out.
Like, the guy's lucky that's all he got.
Yeah.
That's Marmaduke.
Well, we're out of time this week.
That's it, yeah, it's time to be done.
It's time to be done. So we thank you for listening.
Yeah.
And be sure to go to RadioBrendo.com for all your Radio Brendo needs. BenviewNetwork.com. And maybe next week we'll get to Nintendo Power. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll see. But if not, then...
Let us know how you think this format is going.
Well, next week you're going to have a guest.
I'll have a guest because you're going to be on vacation.
That's right.
Enjoy your vacation.
Yeah, absolutely.
We all set. Tabasco Island.
Yeah, we're going.
Get that Tabasco.
I'm very excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening, everyone.
Thank you. And so for Radio Brendo Man, I'm Brendan Creasy.
And I'm Phil Vecchio.
Have a good one, everybody.
This podcast is a part of the Benview Network.
You can find this and other podcasts like it at BenviewNetwork.com.
Feeling peckish this midnight? Sate your appetite for terror and reserve your ears for a feast of the sound. The Midnight Marinara podcast is here for you, intrepid listeners. We sample only the finest and sinister stories and, coating them with our own unique spooky sauce, present them to you as eerie audio dramas. Tune in twice monthly as Midnight Marinara sends shivers of fear and spasms of laughter through you. Bon appetit!